Have you ever looked at a really huge, complex problem and just felt, well, overwhelmed? You know, the kind where you see different groups working on little pieces, but they're all in their own silos.
Right, completely separate
And you
tracks.
just wonder, how is this ever going to get solved?
It happens everywhere, right? Work, community.
Absolutely. It's a really common frustration.
Well, today, our mission is to show you how organizations that seem totally unrelated can actually build incredibly powerful funding partnerships.
Yeah, partnerships that lead to breakthroughs no single group can manage alone.
Exactly. We're going to dive into a really fascinating real-world case study today that I think nails this perfectly.
And it's a great one because it brings together such different worlds. You've got the U.S. military on one side and civilian nonprofit philanthropy on the other.
Seems unlikely already.
Oh, totally. But they came together to push brain health research forward. We're going to unpack the strategies they use, surprisingly simple, really, and pull out insights you can use for, well, almost any complex challenge. Okay, let's unpack this. Starting with that challenge in the nonprofit world itself, funders often have really specific, targeted interests.
Right, very focused missions.
And that focus is vital, obviously, but it does lead to a lot of fragmentation when you look at the big picture. So the big question right away is, how can organizations with these sort of narrow lanes team up to tackle massive, multifaceted problems that need a much wider view?
That really is the core dilemma, isn't it?
Yeah.
How do you stay laser focused on your mission, but still play a part in solving these huge, complex issues that cross over everyone's interests?
Yeah.
This case study, though, it offers a really compelling strategy for getting scale on those complex problems without asking anyone to fundamentally change who they are.
Okay, so let's meet the players in this alliance because, like you said, on paper, they seem like, well, about as unlikely as partners get.
They really do.
First, there's the NCAA DoD Grand Alliance Concussion Assessment, Research and Education. Quite a mouthful. Let's call it the CARE Consortium.
Good idea. CARE Consortium it is.
So this started back in 2014, funded by the Department of Defense and the NCAA. We're talking the biggest study ever on concussion and repetitive head impacts.
Huge scale, tens of thousands involved.
Right, like 53,000 student athletes and service academy cadets, and it holds the world's largest database on concussion in women, which is important.
Crucial data point.
And now they're in phase three, looking at the long-term effects of head impacts, mostly in young adults, right? Like 18 to 21.
That's their primary focus, yes. Young, healthy adults.
Okay. Then player number two, the Bright Focus Foundation.
A well-known nonprofit.
They fund global research to fight Alzheimer's, related dementias, macular degeneration, glaucoma. Big investments, nearly $300 million over the years.
Their focus is very clearly on older adults who are at risk for these diseases.
Right. And then player number three, Cure Alzheimer's Fund.
Another major player in the Alzheimer's space.
Also a nonprofit, very focused. They fund research with the highest chance of preventing, slowing, or even reversing Alzheimer's. Again, hundreds of millions in grants.
And again, like Bright Focus, their emphasis is squarely on older adults.
So you immediately see the disconnect,
Oh,
right?
absolutely. It's stark. You've got Bright Focus and Cure Alzheimer's Fund dedicated to Alzheimer's and older people,
Yeah.
and then the CARE Consortium studying concussions in young athletes and cadets.
Totally different demographics, seemingly different problems.
And yeah, to make it even more unlikely, Cure Alzheimer's Fund, for instance, had basically zero prior connection to the military.
Right.
And CARE had no links to either of these big Alzheimer's charities. It's like they operated in separate universes.
It really sounds like it. Okay, so this is where the bridge organization comes in, the crucial connector.
Exactly. Enter MTEC, the Medical Technology Enterprise Consortium.
MTEC, what do they do?
So they're a nonprofit, and their whole mission is fostering these military-civilian partnerships. They bring the DoD together with businesses, universities, other nonprofits to speed up getting innovative medical tech out there for both soldiers and civilians. They've managed huge amounts of funding, over $1 billion in federal funds, plus generating almost another $1 billion in private follow-on funding. And their model is key here. It's designed to, open up communication and spark collaborations between partners who might otherwise never even meet.
Okay, so MTEC is the matchmaker, basically.
In a way, yes, a very strategic matchmaker.
So you've got these players seemingly worlds apart. How did they even start to find common ground? I mean, what was the actual scientific link? This is where it gets really interesting for me.
It really does. And the link is, well, it's quite elegant, scientifically speaking. We already know that moderate and severe TBI, traumatic brain injury, is a definite risk factor for Alzheimer's later in life.
Okay. Established science.
Right. But the big question mark, the gap in knowledge, was around mild TBI and those repetitive head impacts. Think sports concussions, maybe even subconcussive hits.
The stuff CARE was studying.
Exactly. Do those also contribute to Alzheimer's developing, maybe decades down the line?
Mm-hmm.
And if so, what are the biological mechanisms? How does that work?
That's a huge question.
It is, because if you could definitively prove a link, a causal link, between those milder, earlier head impacts and later Alzheimer's,
it changes everything.
It fundamentally shifts how we think about preventing Alzheimer's. You'd have to broaden the research way beyond the current risk factors, way beyond just looking at older adults.
Why? Because the damage starts earlier.
Precisely. The underlying pathological changes, the things that eventually lead to Alzheimer's symptoms, can actually begin decades before someone seems clinically ill.
Decades. So you're saying the roots of Alzheimer's might be forming in someone who's like 20.
Potentially, yes.
Yeah.
That's the hypothesis.
Yeah.
So studying young adults who've had head impacts becomes critical.
Wow. Okay. That's a major paradigm shift. And this brings us right to the CARE Consortium's killer asset, right? Their biobank.
Absolutely critical. It's this incredibly valuable collection of biological samples, blood, saliva, etc.
Okay.
But crucially, these samples are all linked to that huge group of young adults whose health, activities, and head impacts are being meticulously tracked over time.
So samples plus data.
Samples plus incredibly detailed longitudinal data on a well-characterized group. It's a rare opportunity for researchers looking at long-term brain injury effects.
Right.
It lets you hunt for biomarkers, those early warning signs of neurodegenerative disease, years before symptoms might show up.
Which could lead to earlier interventions, maybe even prevention.
That's the hope. So you can see how, for funders invested in brain health, even those focused on Alzheimer's, this intersection between concussion in young people and Alzheimer's prevention becomes, well, suddenly very compelling.
Okay, I see the link now. MTech spotted this scientific synergy. But spotting it is one thing. Getting these very different groups with their own priorities to actually sit down and work together. What was the strategy? How did they pull that off without asking people to change their entire mission? That seems like the real magic trick here.
It absolutely is the core challenge.
Yeah.
And the strategy was quite deliberate. Do not push for fundamental change.
Okay. No big asks.
No big asks like, hey, change your mission for us.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody was asked to shift their primary focus. Instead, MTech focused entirely on highlighting the overlaps, the intersections between their existing priorities.
Alignment.
Alignment, not transformation. That was the key. Framing the whole conversation around alignment. That way, you foster collaboration that respects everyone's mission, but also finds that shared ground.
So what did those early conversations look like? How did they frame it?
They were very much about understanding specific needs first. Asking questions like, okay, looking at this potential project, what parts really click with your specific mission? What would get your scientific review committee excited? What resonates with your board?
Right, tailoring it.
Exactly. And practical things too, like what parts of this budget could fit your typical grant size? What's your funding cycle look like? Are there any absolute must-haves, any prerequisites we need to meet for you to even consider this?
So less of a sales pitch, more of a discovery process.
Precisely. It wasn't MTech just pitching an idea. It was a collaborative discussion, an open exchange about, okay, where do our interests overlap? Where are the mutual benefits here?
That makes sense. Building trust and understanding first. So after all that careful groundwork and focusing on alignment, did it actually work? Did these groups who seemed so far apart really manage to partner up? What was the outcome?
It did work. Once those intersections were laid bare, once everyone understood that this massive database on young adults' concussions could yield critical insights into long-term brain health that mattered for both civilians and the military.
The light bulb moment.
Kind of, yeah. The foundation for a real alliance was there.
And nobody had to change their stripes.
That's the crucial part. No one had to change their core mission. They didn't have to overhaul their grant review process or their funding structures. The military kept its focus on service members.
Right.
Bright Focus and Cure Alzheimer's Fund kept their focus on Alzheimer's research. But they all recognized the mutual benefits.
They saw the shared value.
Exactly. They saw that discoveries here could help everyone. I mean, think about it. The nearly 7 million Americans living with Alzheimer's. That includes veterans and civilians. So breakthroughs benefit the populations all these groups care about. They found that profound common ground.
And the tangible result. Did the funding actually happen?
It absolutely did. Both Bright Focus Foundation and the Cure Alzheimer's Fund stepped up and became supporters of the CARE Consortium.
Wow.
They contributed around $450,000 in funding combined to push this specific area of research forward.
That's fantastic. A real testament to that alignment strategy. Okay, so what does this all mean? What are the bigger lessons here for anyone listening, maybe trying to tackle a complex issue in their own world?
I think it's a really powerful example of how organizations, even ones that look totally different on the surface, can actually join forces.
Yeah.
They can leverage their unique strengths, fill gaps for each other, and really move a field forward with surprising agility and purpose.
So working together accelerates things.
Definitely. It speeds up discovery, helps translate that new knowledge into actual action, and ultimately creates a bigger, more lasting impact on public health.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that findings help both veterans and civilians just drives that home.
This isn't just an interesting story, then. It feels like there are some really concrete, universal lessons here, things you could apply whether you're, you know, managing a project, working in your community, or just thinking about problem solving.
Absolutely. We've actually boiled it down to 6 key takeaways from this whole experience, and they're surprisingly applicable across the board.
Okay, let's hear them.
First, cast a wide net. When you're looking for partners, think broadly. Think creatively. Don't just look for the obvious fits. Complex problems usually have lots of different entry points, even for funders with narrow focuses.
So look beyond the usual suspects.
Exactly. Second, find the common threads. Complex issues are, well, complex. But focus on what ties different aspects together. Finding those areas of overlap is where you build the foundation for real partnerships. It's about locating that shared piece of the puzzle.
Makes sense. What's third?
Third. Ignore precedent. Seriously. Just because something hasn't been done before doesn't mean it's a bad idea.
Right. Don't be afraid to be the first.
Precisely. These kinds of unconventional partnerships can lead to really significant breakthroughs. So stay open to new, maybe slightly out there possibilities.
Okay. Number four.
Four. Size is irrelevant, but interests are not. You know, the DoD invests billions in research, way more than most foundations.
Sure.
But the amount of money someone brings doesn't dictate the value of the partnership. What really matters is that alignment of interests. Even a smaller contribution can be absolutely pivotal if it hits the right strategic need.
So it's about the fit, not just the funding about.
Fifth, keep it simple and focused. The goal of a partnership usually isn't to solve the entire massive problem all at once.
Right, bite-sized chunks.
Kind of. It's about addressing a specific shared cause or building a shared capacity within that larger issue. If you try to make it too complicated, you actually dilute the effectiveness. Find that focused sweet spot.
And the last one, number six.
And sixth, this is a big one we've touched on. Change is not required. Organizations, people too, are often resistant to fundamental change.
Understand.
Right. So the key to building strong alliances often isn't asking partners to change how they operate. Instead, you shape the collaboration to respect everyone's existing needs and processes while still contributing to those shared goals for a bigger impact.
Work with their structure, not against it.
You got it. That's the essence of it.
Those are really powerful lessons. They basically provide a roadmap, don't they, for how organizations or even just individuals can build these strategic alliances that actually drive progress, but do it while respecting everyone's unique mission and priorities. It's about finding that win-win synergy.
It really is.
And the success of this DoD-NCAA philanthropy collaboration, it just hammers home the power of that strategic alignment, the kind that's possible without forcing huge structural changes on anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Just by identifying those shared interests, having open conversations, respecting existing priorities, you can unlock new funding, new research possibilities. It's quite transformative, actually.
It shows that partnerships really don't have to involve compromising your core mission. In fact, they seem to thrive when they're built squarely on mutual benefit and that shared vision for making progress.
Yeah.
Which leaves us with a final thought for you, the listener, to maybe mull over. Thinking about this case study, how might recognizing and leveraging these kinds of intersections apply to a complex challenge you're facing? Or maybe even just a seemingly unrelated ideas you've been juggling. What unlikely alliances, big or small, might you be able to forge using some of these principles we've unpacked today?